You're listening to Tassie and Counters on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current, and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here, and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and today we've got David Leo with us to give us a bit of a review of David Maxwell's programs that he's been presenting throughout this week on the beast from the earth. This is looking at Revelation chapter 13 and going on from his series on the different significant things of Revelation.
Yeah, some of the visions of Revelation.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating one, you know, like it's, our senses are always enticed by beasts and amazing things happening in the stars and things like that.
Mm.
So these are all symbologies, and David's explained this if you listen to his episodes, that these represent kingdom powers, or what would we call them in our days? Nationality powers, eh?
Nations or political powers.
Political powers, that's a good one. Thanks, Jason. Yeah, and when we read Revelation 13, or as David covered, he talked about the abuse
of power.
Of these powers.
Yeah.
You know,
and there's nothing new in this. This has really gone on forever to some extent. You know, we go back to Babylon, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he used his power and quite viciously against other nations around him.
Yeah, and it's good that you've gone back to Babylon. The kings of those times and the ancient kingdoms, they were like gods.
Yeah.
They were basically gods to the people, and they were trained, or the kingdom were trained to see them as gods.
Mm.
You know, we would call that propaganda. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, the theme of Daniel, which is very much connected. We know Daniel has lots of prophecy in it, and it connects to the prophecies of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a theme in Daniel that they were trying to get Daniel himself. They were trying to catch him out over and over again. And, you know, it almost always involved the way he worshipped his God.
Oh.
You know, they tried to trap him. They, you know, got the king to set laws to ultimately get him killed. So
get rid of this guy that's too good to be true.
Yeah.
And, there's a story that, in Daniel, that's very specific to the issue that we're talking to, and it's in Daniel chapter 3.
Right? And we'll do a review of that, but just want to warn you that if you've got young children listening, there is some talk today about the consequence of not following king's orders, and some of that stuff is not pleasant for young ears. So we just warn you that you might want to switch off or turn it down if you've got young children listening at the moment. So, so we're going to go back and have a quick look at Daniel 3. Do you want to give us an overview of that?
Quick overview. Daniel and three of his friends, they've all been captured by Babylon. They're young men. They're taken in, and Daniel has this amazing dream, and it shows that Babylon's going to actually be taken over. And King Nebuchadnezzar, being a bit paranoid, he calls through everyone from all the different districts. I can't remember how many districts. It was heaps of them.
Yeah, there's lots.
But he calls.
Daniel himself was actually away at the time.
That's right. So it was just his three friends.
Yeah.
And so all of them come together to find out what does the king want. And the king has a special ceremony organized. And basically the instruction is, when you hear this music, everyone comes and they see this huge statue.
Huge statue. It's about 30 or 40 meters tall or something.
That's right. Yeah. And in Daniel's dream, he told him that there's these four different metals, you know, gold, silver, bronze, iron. And he said, you're the gold in this, the head, and the silver's going to take over. And King Nebuchadnezzar did not like.
Didn't like that.
Didn't like the sound.
He wanted the whole statue to be gold.
Correct. So he made the whole statue gold. And the instructions were, when they heard this music, I don't know what type of music was, the Bible says all types of music, everyone is to bow.
Mm.
So there's a test of loyalty here.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a traitor amongst our midst, I'm going to find them, you know. And three guys do not bow to the image.
Mm.
It's the boys from Israel. Their names are Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah. These are the three
Shadrach,
friends.
Meshach, and Abednego were Babylonian names.
They were given Babylonian names. And they refused to bow, and they were given opportunity to, and the They still wouldn't. They actually say these lines that fire me up. These lines, I think, will get any man excited. I'm not quoting it. Do you have it? Do you have it on the Bible? What they actually say to the king? They say something along the lines of.
They said to the king, "Let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." And then, of course, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, got pretty angry at that and heated up the furnace even more.
That's the punishment, throwing into a fiery furnace.
But I'm just trying to find the specific verse that I think you're looking for.
You know the one? Yeah. It's somewhere, I'll just take my word for it, it's somewhere along the lines of, even, they said, we know that our God can save us.
Here it is.
Oh, what's it say?
If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known, we do not serve your God. So regardless of the consequences, they weren't prepared to go against the instructions of God, which was to, in the Ten Commandments, it says, don't have any other gods, do not bow down. Another
image.
And
an image before me. Revelation 13 refers to an image. He says, these words are a word of commitment, dedication, the commandments that they're brought up in. And basically, your furnace doesn't scare us.
Mm.
You know, our God is greater than that, you know? And, they end up being thrown into the fiery furnace.
Mm.
And the Bible tells us that it was so hot that the soldier or the...
The people who were... Yeah, the soldiers who were putting them in the furnace, they actually died.
They died from the heat.
Yeah.
Right. And so as the fire is happening, the king spots a fourth person in there, sees a fourth shadow, and he asks the question, who's that?
Mm.
You know, like, and I think the answer that comes out of his own lips is, and he believes in pagan gods.
It looks like a god.
Yeah. It looks like one of the sons of God, right? You know, so... even in the midst of fire, even in the punishment that should have happened to both of them, to all three of them, Jesus was present.
Yeah.
You know, and
of course they came out with no burns.
Well, no burns. Nothing. You know, this is
not even the smell of smoke.
That's right. This is a miraculous thing, you know, like.
And so we connect this to Revelation. Now, there's a lot of very literal things in this story.
Yes.
You know, a literal image, a literal statue.
Correct.
There's worship going on. There's so many parallels to Revelation 13 where we've got an image and we've got worship. We've got
the power.
We've got the threat of a death penalty if you don't follow through.
Yeah.
And so how do we connect this? I really believe that God gave us that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to give us an idea as to how strong we need to be in our faith in order to prepare for those days of Revelation 13, those prophecies.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we are no different to the humans that lived back then.
Mm.
You know, we still have a leaning towards when somebody, like a political power, we can talk in current times right now. It's November in 2024. US elections have just finished. And with some of these policies that Trump has come with, there's a whole movement of people saying, I've seen some pictures of Trump, you know, with Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And the pictures, somebody made them, of course, you know.
Mm.
Either, but the sentiment is, we have a political savior amongst us that's going to change things around. And true as it may be, he doesn't deserve worship like the worship of that Jesus Christ deserves.
No.
You know, like he's not a creator, you know, things like that. So we are, that's the same thing as people back in Nebuchadnezzar's day. They were to worship a human being as if they were a god.
Mm.
And we have to be very wary and careful of that.
The political leaders, Kim Jong-un, listened to the testimony of Yeonmi Park, who's a defector from North Korea.
Mm.
She said that they're trained from a young age to believe that he is like a god. And so they consider, you know, it's basically their allegiance and their loyalty, and they sort of worship him as a god. I think in the US at the moment, there's a danger of people considering Donald Trump as the savior. You know, lots of people also hate Donald Trump, but some people sort of think he's the one that's going to save us, this nation, and even save the world.
This goes to show how significant and important the Bible is to us, right? Because that defect person from North Korea. She's just basically, you know, in the schools and how they're brought up, they're taught that.
Yes.
Right? So they don't have an alternative. There's no alternative education to tell them, hey, there's a Jesus creator, blah, blah, blah. So that's all they know. You know, we go to USA, they have the Bible.
We have the Bible.
But it goes to show how illiterate, not illiterate, but Bible illiteracy.
Yes.
No one's paying attention to Jesus Christ, right? Mm. They're not paying attention to Jesus Christ. And it's easy to be swayed when something in our face, you know, it's tangible.
Mm.
It's, we can see it in real time. And when we're not solid on what the Bible's teaching us, we can be easily swayed. And I think this is something where we have to ask the question in our mind, where do our loyalties lay? And, you know, one of the greatest Bible verses that I love, it says that we love God because he first
loved us.
You know, that's throughout scripture. You can see he's the initiator of this relationship. And before any political powers or any powers for that matter in history, Jesus has always been the king.
Mm.
From the beginning to the end. And if our listener doesn't know who he is, man, I really encourage you to get to know Jesus Christ.
Mm. And understanding these Bible truths, the prophecies that we've got here, I think this helps us to prepare for the future. And I think it's really important that we get to know Jesus right now, not leave it to the last minute, and get to know what he says in the scriptures.
Yeah.
Because these things, you know, the Bible has been accurate with its prophecies.
Yeah, it's a rescue plan.
And, you know, it's going to happen.
Amen.
It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I believe that without a doubt.
Mm.
And so we need to get into it, study it, understand it, have a relationship with God.
Talk to him.
Not just to, you know, be rescued from these sort of events, but also to...
To
have that eternal relationship with him.
Right on.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we've got our final day of our free offer for this week. It's actually a DVD. It's called The Final Events of Bible Prophecy. This is by Doug Batchelor. It unlocks the amazing Bible truths of Earth's last days. So discover what the Bible really says about the rapture, the millennium, the second coming, and more. And there's also an interactive Bible encyclopedia on that DVD as well. So text in the code TEM02 to 0488880891 to claim that free offer today.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
So, David, coming up next week we're going to be looking at the sanctuary and... you mentioned the fact this is sort of God's rescue plan.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things you mentioned is Jesus has loved us eternally, and the sanctuary is actually our blueprint and gives us a plan of what that looks like and how he's going to save us and this earth.
Awesome. So we're going to get into that in next week's episode. Mm-hmm. So do join us every morning at 9 a.m. for that. Right now, we're going to go out with this great song. This is My King is Known by Love by the Clark family. And, of course, we know that through the rescue plan, Jesus had a plan right from the beginning. So we challenge you to get to know Jesus and encounter him more each and every day. We'll talk to you next week.
Some are known by great authority. For kingdoms as far as eyes can see, in royal robes they rule from thrones, waging wars they overthrow thee, and call it victory. My King is known by mercy. My King is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My King is known by the cross. My King is known by an empty grave. Oh, in all that he does. to make my sin and shame his own. Yet he gave his life for me. He gave his life for me. My King is known by mercy. My King is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My King is known. My King is known by mercy. And my King is known by grace. For the hope in his name.